This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
All right. Might as well get going with the scoring highlights here. You know, the final 5-2 Winnipeg over Anaheim. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster will join us next segment. And actually, Dan, a pretty decent first period. We talked to Kevin Shattenkirk down by the locker room after 20, and things were looking up after the Jacob Silverberg tally.
Yeah, really solid first period for the Ducks, Steve. They outshot the Jets 18-7 and got the only goal of the period at the 15-16 mark. Kevin Shattenkirk carrying the puck low on the right wing, spied his teammate Frank Vetrano in front. Shattenkirk got the puck there. The Vetrano redirect stopped by Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck. The rebound hopped over the stick of Vetrano, but Jacob Silverberg was right there to bury it. Silverberg gets his fourth of the season from Vetrano and Shattenkirk, and the Ducks had an early 1-0 lead.
And you might forget about it, but the Ducks actually had a 2-0 lead after that, didn't they?
Well, they did. Early in the second period, Winnipeg's defenseman, Sandberg, mishandled the puck right off a faceoff in the Anaheim zone. Brett Leason able to pick it up and outrace Sandberg on a breakaway. Leason with a shot from the slot that beat Connor Hellebuck's stick side. The unassisted goal for Leason, his second of the season. And 5:09 into the second period, the Ducks were on top 2-0.
The young player, Saku Manilainen, put Winnipeg on the board for the first time just past the halfway point of that period.
Yeah, and the Jets really began taking over the game in the second half of the second period. And the first goal scored by Manilainen after defenseman Nate Schmidt had thrown the puck toward the front of the net from the right wing corner. Manilainen with a bang-bang redirect, his fourth goal of the season. Schmidt and Adam Lowry the assists that pulled Winnipeg within 2-1 at 10:31.
All right, then it's Winnipeg again. Just a short time after the Manilainen goal, they get one from a young defenseman.
Yeah, 2:57 after Winnipeg had scored its first goal, the Jets get even on a strange goal, to be honest. Dylan Sandberg, the Winnipeg defenseman, off a faceoff in the left wing circle, just threw the puck toward the net from the left point. His teammate, Mikey Asamont, appeared to redirect the puck in the high slot. It got past Anthony Stolarz. There was a long video review initiated by the Situation Room in Toronto to determine whether Asamont had redirected the puck with a high stick. Evidently, they discovered that Asamont never touched the puck because the goal credited to Sandberg, the first of his NHL career, Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois with the assists. So the Jets suddenly had pulled into a 2-2 tie.
Play of the game next, brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. The youngster, Barron, was a guy that put the Jets ahead for good. Schmidt handing it off to Morrissey, and then Schmidt goes off on a player change. Here's Lowry, front of the net, they score! Lowry in front for Morgan Barron, and the Jets score a goal with 5:37 to play to go up by a 3-2 count.
Well, after being outshot 18-7 in the first period, the Jets outshot the Ducks 15-5 in the second and would wind up the third period with an 18-7 edge in shots. You kind of had the sense that it was just a matter of time before the Jets were able to snap the 2-2 tie, and they did so on a brilliantly executed tic-tac-toe rush that culminated in Barron's second goal of the season. He got a step on Cam Fowler, was able to redirect the Adam Lowry pass. Saku Manilainen with the second assist at 14:23. The Jets were on top 3-2.
And then, Dan, they put it away with a couple of more goals early.
Yeah, just 49 seconds after Barron had scored to make it 3-2, the Jets got one from their top goal scorer, Mark Scheifele, his 13th of the season, again on the rush. Scheifele converting a Blake Wheeler pass from the left wing faceoff dot. Cole Perfetti with the second assist. That made it 4-2 Jets. And then late in the game with just 44.5 seconds left, after Ducks defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk had taken a desperation holding penalty to prevent an empty net goal, Nate Schmidt got the power play strike, his third of the season, from Morrissey and Connor. And that put the finishing touches on a 5-2 Jets victory.
Quick timeout. We'll get a thought from Josh Brewster, Dan Wood, and then end the broadcast from Winnipeg after this on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
News, will of the people, world tour. April 12th, Honda Center. News. With special guests, Evanescence. And Highly Suspect, Will of the People, the new album, available now. Tickets are on sale now at muse.mu. Muse, produced by AEG Presents.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
There was this guy who had a close circle of friends. They did everything together. They threw dinner parties, went on fishing trips, hung out at the beach. They were inseparable. But then one of his friends got in serious debt. He needed money. So he set this guy up, framed him, and had him arrested, all for 30 pieces of silver.
Jesus was sold out. He gets us, all of us. Visit HeGetsUs.com.
Winnipeg beats Anaheim 5-2. We're close to catching a bus to the airport to head home to the great state of California, and we're going to be excited to be there. Steve Carroll, Dan Wood, Josh Brewster. Josh, let's start with you. Your thoughts on what we witnessed today?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is unfortunate that the Ducks could not keep pace with the Jets after the Jets scored their first goal and started to take over, and they could not get the game back and turn the tables back on the Jets. It's a bit of the lesson you learn from the Dallas Stars. You're just facing a much better club, and the Ducks did not have the ability to turn it back. One thing I'm going to talk about on the show today is this is a game where shots on goal spoke volumes about how this game went. The Ducks had the first five shots of the game, and then you take a look at the second and third periods, 33-12 in favor of the Jets.
Yeah, Josh, you could not be more accurate. The Winnipeg Jets are a solid hockey club, a Stanley Cup playoff contender, and when they decided to turn it on midway through the game, the Ducks just had no answer. Now, maybe it would have been different if the Ducks were not playing the second half of back-to-back games and playing their fourth game in six nights on a road trip through the Central Division. But let's be honest, the Winnipeg Jets are simply a better hockey club than the Ducks. And when they decided they need to kick it into gear, the Ducks had no answer. And that's the cold, hard truth. A spirited effort by the Ducks. They got goals from two bottom six forwards, Jakob Silfverberg and Brett Leason. But the top guys today were not heard from. Nothing from Terry, nothing from Zegras, nothing from Henrique, nothing from Strom. So it's tough to win when the only offense you get is from your third and fourth lines.
All right. Josh, who's your guest on Duck Calls?
Well, my guest today is formerly known as Puck Daddy at Yahoo. He is Greg Wojcinski from ESPN.com. Really good longtime hockey guy. So it should be good hockey talk on Duck Calls today.
All right. We'll look forward to that. We're heading home to SoCal. I want to thank Jerry Richardson, our on-site engineer, for his work. And, of course, Cash Hibbler at Skyview. Be on the air at 6:30 California time Tuesday night from Honda Center. 7 o'clock play-by-play. It's the Anaheim Ducks and the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, the final from Winnipeg. Jets beat the Ducks by a 5 to count. We'll see you Tuesday night. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Anaheim Ducks Hockey on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's Classic Hits station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's Classic Hit Station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Regional Mexican Radio has a track record of bringing good vibes and classic Mexican tracks all day long. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, is here with our exclusive Éxitos Mexicano station, carrying on the radio format of Regional Mexicano with top artists. Listen to La Música del Momento from La Séptima Banda, Calibre 50, all ready to bring your day the best Mexican music. And don't forget to upgrade to TuneIn Premium for all music with no ads.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-9402. 888-714-9402 today. Jets 5, Ducks 2. End of a road trip. Well, as I was just saying to Dan, there are times when shots on goal tell you everything you need to know about this game. Our penalty kill looked really good again, and I've got to point that out. We surrendered a power play goal when the game was already decided late. Big deal. They looked good. So we're looking at 5-on-5 here, and you're looking at the game in its totality. You come out, you get the first five shots of the game, and then as the game, you score the first two goals ultimately, and then as the game goes on, you know, it's a fragile club. You're down. You're up 2-0. They score on you, and all of a sudden, the Jets turn on their Jets, and the Ducks are unable to respond. And it's 5 unanswered goals. And, you know, it's interesting. Troy Terry said this after the game yesterday, after we lost to the Wild on that the late goal and then the shootout. He said, "I thought tonight we did a better job. We had the lead, and we just weren't in protect mode. I think we've done that whenever we've had the lead this year. We've stopped pushing the other team and just sitting back." Now, it's an interesting comment by Terry. I don't think the Ducks sat back today. I think the Ducks just had to all of a sudden start chasing the game. They were dictating the game, and then it snapped, and the Jets became the Jets, the Central Division, you know, powerful club Jets. And they just it just snapped on the Ducks. They were chasing the game. They were unable to assert themselves and establish the offense. There's a stretch where the Jets, again, here comes the shots on goal. They had 16 of 17 shots during one stretch today. And I still see an effort from the Ducks, which is real good. And I was just watching the post game here, and Dallas Aiken says morale is good, and you know the attitude is good. So this is just the way it goes. Give us a call, 714-940-2888. What did you think? It's obviously a big disappointment. The Ducks probably deserving a little better fate, but in the midpoint of the game, things start to go south because the Jets just turn it on. The Ducks don't have an answer. You're basically getting beat by a better club. At the midpoint of this game, it was 22-11 shots on goal, and it was 2-1 Ducks. That's the midpoint of the game, and it ends 5-2. So, you know, again, I don't see the Ducks dogging it. I don't see the body language sinking. I see them working really hard. Unfortunately, they could not get it done. As Dan was mentioning a few minutes ago, look, we always rely on Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras. Today, and some of our bigger names, you know, Cam Fowler, we didn't get anything from there, that part of the lineup. But the good part of the ledger here, Brett Leason, probably the best Duck on the ice today. Real good job. Real good job by Brett Leason. And good job by the penalty kill. We come home. We get a little breather. 2 games in 5 days. Going to play Carolina. Going to play the Sharks on Tuesday and then on Friday. So maybe the Ducks can put together a good week before they go back out on the road to Canada for 5 straight games in Canada. And then we're going to have a long, I think it's 10-game homestand through the rest of December and into January. But it's just unfortunate because I really thought the Ducks, that first period, again, here's the shots, 18-7 in favor of the Ducks. And, you know, at the end of the first period, the score is 1-0. And 5:09 into the second, Brett Leason makes it 2-0. Good. But to Troy Terry's point, it wasn't that we really didn't push back, I think, as much as we just ended up having to chase a better club. So it's unfortunate. Let's do this. Let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to tee up my guest, Mr. Greg Wyszynski, formerly known as Puck Daddy, and now known by his name, Greg Wyszynski, from ESPN.com. On Duck Calls, I will be right back.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, length of contract limited, expires 1/3/23.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Get the perfect holiday gifts for hockey fans on your list at NHLShop.com. The world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and more. All the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special holiday offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
Hey fans, you guys know that the Ducks have had a lot of great moments throughout the years of the club. And now Kent French is going to uncover them all in From Mighty Till Now. You'll get to hear from alumni as they retell the best stories from their time with the team. Don't miss it on DuckStream.
Welcome back to Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. Get your free Wild Wing Nut Quacker presented by Impact on Friday, December 23rd, when the Ducks take on the Calgary Flames at 7:30 p.m. Only the first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive this figurine, so get to Honda Center early. Reserve your seats now at AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. AnaheimDucks.com/Quacker. All right, I think we have a caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Duck Calls. How are you doing today?
Hey, Josh. It's Dave from Winnipeg.
Dave from Winnipeg. Oh, right on. What's up, Dave? My new best buddy.
Nothing much. I just driving home from the game. Like, I'm just like, in total shock. We played so well in the first period, and then we just... Sucks.
Okay, well, Dave, let me ask you a question. Right now, tell me if you disagree with me. I think this had a lot to do with the Jets turning it on and the Ducks chasing. I don't think it was the Ducks dogging it. I don't think maybe a month ago I would have told you it was, but I don't think the body language was bad. I just think the Jets turned the tables on him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially that last, you know, 6 minutes of the game, and it was just mind-boggling to watch. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Ducks were just tired from yesterday's game, and just, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? That's all fine, but you know, every team's got to go through these back-to-back games. You know, everybody's got them, and you know, I understand that, but at the same time, you know, you come out, it's 18-7 shots in the first period, and then it's 33-12 the rest of the way. You've got to be able to mitigate that, and you have a stretch of 16 of 17 shots going to the Jets, and that was disheartening. I was hoping that the Ducks could find a way to impose their offense on the Jets, but it wasn't meant to be.
Exactly. My question to you, that third Jets goal, what was Cam Power doing? Was like, did he get tripped up, or did he just fell?
I think there was a little bit of a trip there, he wasn't tripped. I'm saying I think he stumbled a little. I think that's what I saw. I'd have to take a look at it again. It's a heck of a play and a real nice stretch pass from Josh Morrissey all the way up the ice to Menelain. And but yeah, it's too bad. The by then, you know, the momentum really swung in the favor of the Jets on that. You know, it started to swing when it was 2-1, when they made it 2-1, it started to swing. But at 2-2, you could really feel that it was going south on the Ducks. All right,
yeah.
David from Winnipeg. Listen, I appreciate your calls, and I look forward to hearing from you more and more and more. Good caller from all the way up in Winnipeg. All right, now you used to know this guy as Puck Daddy. I've always known him as Greg Wyszynski. He has now changed back into Greg Wyszynski. Now on ESPN. He's been on ESPN.com for quite a while. He's a great hockey writer and a real insider. And anytime that I can get Greg Wyszynski to join me on Duck Calls, it is a treat. Greg, how you doing today, buddy?
Well, it's a bit of a loaded question as a New York Jets fan, how I'm doing today.
Late? Did they fumble late or something? Because I thought they were about to score. I saw the little.
Nah, they threw it. They threw an INT late, but it was. You know, it's one of those weird times as a Jets fan where you're once again emotionally crushed, but clearly things are progressing in the right direction. So as I often say, being a Jets fan is about them finding new and exciting ways to lose games, and today was no exception.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to get right back to the hockey because I'm a Bills fan, and you can only imagine the torture that I've endured for 50 some years. All right, Greg, you can just imagine, Greg. Today, you know, the Ducks are, believe it or not, because I mean, look, your record is what you are. I get it's what you are, but as a former Jets coach once said, your record is you are what you are. But the Ducks are starting to put some pieces together. They're playing better hockey. The Jets turned the tables on them today and really took momentum. I was just mentioning 18-7 are the shots. Ducks go up 2-0, and then all of a sudden it's 33-12 shots in favor of the Jets. What are your impressions of what we just saw?
Yeah, I mean, I was poking around the highlights of the game ahead of our conversation, and I was kind of the thing that took me aback was seeing that the Ducks had, I think it was like a 20-11 shot advantage when the Jets scored their first goal, and then, like you said, the ball gets
11,
the snowball gets rolling down the hill, and all of a sudden you're stuck in an advantage. In looking in on the Ducks for the last couple of games, you can come to the conclusion that they have young team-itis, and by that I mean, there are times when they play extraordinarily well, and there are times when they are on the other part of the valley, and specifically defensively. I mean, this is a classic hallmark of a young team trying to find its way. You look inside the numbers analytically at 5-on-5, their expected goals against, I think, are in the bottom two or three in the league. It's just that sort of struggle for a young team to really find its footing and find a style of hockey that can, you know, take a 2-0 lead and build on it and play well enough to have that, you know, to find a positive result at the end. But defensively, they're just not there.
Yeah, no, there's been big sea change of turn. I mean, look, you have to go back. You have to go back to the late chapter of last season when you know Hampus Lindholm is gone, Josh Manson is gone, and now you have this. That's a big turnover. Okay, I've spoken volumes about what I think Cam Fowler is. I think he's a vastly underrated player. But you're absolutely right, and it also makes me wonder, you know, as the season goes on. Are you going to end up taking a look at Axel Anderson, Drew Helleson, players that you've gotten back in trade on the Manson deals and the Lindholm deals? There's big changes here on the Ducks defense for sure. And I think also for that reason, Greg, you can only judge Gibson and Stolarz so harshly because when you have this kind of flux on defense, it's the goaltender's numbers probably aren't telling you the story.
Right, for sure. And you know, it's the blue line right now, the way it's constructed, it feels like there's like five puck carrying guys and one defensive defenseman, which is sort of a really weird way to build out your group. But I mean, that's the direction they decided to go this year for whatever reason. But when I talk about defense, I talk about team defense and in particular, the young players up front. I mean, you look at, for example, you look at what the Devils are doing this year. The Devils are doing what they're doing this year for a number of reasons, but one of them is the fact that Jack Hughes figured out how to play defense. And you watch this kid play now, and all of a sudden there are times when it looks like you're watching Mark Stone out there with his ability to take the puck off of people. And when you have a collection of young forwards like the Ducks do, and a lot of them are extraordinarily talented, there's a learning curve in this league as far as what you're able to do offensively against players, and then that level of defensive responsibility and defensive commitment that is a little bit harder to learn when you're a young offensive star in this league.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, since we expect him to be out for many months, we are missing Jamie Drysdale, a young guy who has played quite a number of games. But also, like, you know, you're so right. Look, Trevor Zegras, he's got things to learn defensively for sure. Mason McTavish is very green. He's doing a good job, but he's very green. And I've also been saying lately that McTavish, as time goes on, he'll also learn how to play a bigger boys game. You know what I mean? Because he's got a little heft. But you're right. I think you're, as you said, I think you called it young team-itis. I think that's very much apparent. I think it's very apparent.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, again, it's a work in progress. Everybody knows that follows the Ducks. And, you know, the expectation is they'll be back in the lottery again this year. They'll hopefully, if the odds are in their favor, wind up with a really, really good player near the top of that draft. And then away we go. You know, it's patience is a virtue. I think there are definitely, as you mentioned, McTavish, and you mentioned Zegras, and Drysdale too, there are definitely pieces in place where you can feel okay with the growing pains that are going on right now, even if the results aren't there. And even if, you know, like you said, some of these games are frustrating. I mean, a 2-0 lead in a game like this, when you're playing as well as they were, you expect at least a better result than you've gotten. And so some of those losses are frustrating, but at the end of the day, it's to serve a greater purpose, which is to have this team learn how to win.
Greg, I want to talk about your most recent column. I believe it's your most recent column or close to it. You're talking about this perhaps being the golden era of New York City area tri-state NHL hockey between the Devils, the Islanders, and the Rangers, that this may actually be the golden age. Why don't you tell me quickly a little bit about that, and I'd encourage everybody to go to ESPN.com.
Yeah, I appreciate it. My column runs either Thursday or Friday each week. And on the latest one, like you said, it's about the Devils, Rangers, and Islanders. Now, the Rangers have to hold up their end of the bargain. They've been struggling as of late, but they were a team that was in the conference final last year, and they are a team that has a couple of outstanding award-winning players in Adam Fox and Igor Shesterkin. But the way the Devils are going, the rebound of the Islanders, rare is the occasion in New York City when all three teams make the playoffs. It's only happened a handful of times. And if the Rangers can kind of answer the call, it could happen again this year. And again, it's not simply just all three teams being good. It's all three teams being good with young players like Matt Barzal, like Hughes, like Adam Fox, that are going to be good for a really long time. So I talked to Stan Fischler, who's a legend in New York City as far as having gone to Rangers games, tracking all the way back to the 1930s. And he told me that, you know, he feels like this is really a special time for these New York teams to all have a contender and a championship push at the same time.
Well, I'm glad, you know what, I'm glad you brought up Stan Fischler's name. I'm going to take a pause here with you for a minute. I don't know what you'd think about this. I'm going to put this out there. Stan is one of the best friends this show has ever had. And I believe firmly, I think it is a glaring, glaring omission in the Hall of Fame that he has not won. But he should be given, especially now that he's 91 years old, okay? He should be given both the broadcaster and the writer award, the Foster Hewitt. And what's the other one?
I just forgot the name of it. But yeah, there's one for the writers, there's one for the broadcasters.
Greg, get on board with this, please.
Also the builder category too, for people that have been dedicated to hockey and tried to grow the game. And when you have somebody him who's been a hockey historian, who's written a ton of books, been prevalent on broadcast, he belongs in the Hall of Fame in some way, shape, or form.
Greg, please get on board with this. You've got a big voice. No, I mean, he's only, you know, I don't, you know, you have a lot of people out there. He needs to go in the hall while he is still walking this earth. And also, Shirley Fischler, for all the women who are working in hockey now, Shirley Fischler blew the doors open. She's the one who brought the anti-discrimination case. She went to court to blow the doors open for women. So I'm going to get back to the hockey now, but I'm so glad you mentioned Stan, because I think it may be the most glaring omission in the hall, in my view. So I don't. Nobody's given more than Stan Fischler. That's my point. So anyway. So there you go. And there you are. All right, let's pop around the National Hockey League, Greg. So we've got a situation real quick here. I just want to get your take on the Coyotes are getting – they've got the 7-0 vote in the city council for Tempe. And next May there's going to be a referendum. I believe, Greg, that since this is a privately financed deal, I think the taxpayers are going to go for it.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, the city council vote, in some ways, was sort of ceremonial. It was always going to be a referendum on whether or not they build this arena and entertainment complex in Tempe. But to have full support, which is something they did not have earlier this summer, I think goes a long way with the voters. And again, it's not a total private funding thing. They do need some money from the city to clean up the site. It's like a landfill fill right now. And then obviously there's a lot of money that goes into infrastructure too, but it's a $2.1 billion project, and most of that, the vast majority of it, is going to be funded by the team. And you know, I've been to Tempe. I think it's a real great thing that they're going to hopefully find an arena there, because it's where the fans are. I talked to people that rode their bicycles to the games at ASU. It's been a long battle for the NHL to try to prove that could be a viable hockey market, but they've stuck to their guns and they fought to keep the team there, and it looks like they may finally find a way to have them get an arena deal that's friendly for them, that's near where their fans live, and that's going to keep them in Arizona. Because don't forget, part of this deal is if they do get this arena built, they're locked in to stay in Arizona for 30 years.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I have to admire Gary Bettman's absolute insistence that this was meant to be, and so look, he may be proven right in the decades in decades to come. Okay, now interesting situation, Greg, in Vancouver yesterday. We start the day with Brock Besser is a scratch, and then the day goes on, and Brock Besser is not a scratch, and he gets out there. The Canucks beat the Coyotes in overtime on a goal by Quinn Hughes. Bo Horvat gets his 18th goal of the season. But what an interesting day. I don't know. I don't remember a day in recent history where you hear this guy, it's a big name on the Canucks roster, this guy's a scratch, and then it turns out he isn't, and it's a big wake-up call.
Yeah, and he said after the game that it hurt bad to almost have been a scratch in that game, to be kind of made an example of by Coach Bruce Boudreau. And then, of course, the other part of this, too, is Elliot Friedman on Sportsnet reporting last night that the Besser camp was given permission to potentially seek a trade out of Vancouver as well. Nobody's commenting on it, but that's what Elliot reported. So that adds another layer of intrigue to the whole thing. Look, I was a little bit stunned that Besser and JT Miller were both retained by the Canucks in the offseason. You think about this team, you think about how many holes they have, especially on their blue line. The idea that you double down and bring both those guys back and not flip one of them for some help you need on your back end was a real surprise to me. And I think it speaks to the bigger problem in Vancouver right now, which is that you've got a number of different people pulling in different directions. I think ownership wants a different thing than management does. I think management wants a different thing than the coach does. I think management in some ways has been very vocal about them not even wanting the coach there, but he's on a contract that requires them to keep him. So it's a mess in Vancouver. I mean, I'm not sure what the ultimate big picture plan is there, but it may ultimately not include Brock Besser if this is what's happening kind of in the background.
All right. Another club that has caught my eye throughout the season because of what happened last offseason is the Florida Panthers. So I wanted to get your mm-hmm. take on the Panthers because I've been saying all year I think Matthew Tkachuk is such an impact player. And that special something that he brings that just can't be bottled, that toughness, and there's a lot of things that I like about that player. Why don't you talk to me about the Panthers and the facelift that they've undergone and whether, as some people believe, they might not be having the most spectacular regular season, but they might pick up steam as it gets more serious and we go into the late second half of the season. And if they're in the playoffs, they may be better built for the tough times now.
Yeah, you know, their offense is starting to kind of find its gear. For a while, the issue with the Panthers was that if you looked at the analytics, they were playing well enough to score more goals than they were. And if you remember them last year, I mean, my God, they were like a juggernaut offensively last year, right? Like they were great. So they were still kind of playing like that at 5-on-5, but they weren't getting the results. But lately, like their last two wins in Vancouver and in Seattle, which is a really good hockey team that they thumped, they won both those games by a 5-1 score. So they're starting to finally find the results, in the back of the net, that the way that they play analytically should portend. Again, when you make a coaching change like they did to bring in Paul Maurice, there's going to be a few months of adjustment to kind of figure out what he wants, kind of figure out how they have to play in order to fit the system that he wants to play. And then, as you've mentioned, there's also kind of a learning curve in the sense of swapping out Jonathan Huberdeau, who's been there forever, to bring in Matthew Tkachuk. And, you know, he gets immediate results, but you still have to kind of figure out how those pieces fit now. They're in a playoff spot now. And that's a welcome change for them. They've been picking up points either in overtime losses or in straight out victories. And so it looks like maybe a team that really, really was one of the best teams in hockey last year in the regular season has finally found its groove.
All right, let's double back to our hometown heroes here, the Anaheim Ducks. Give me a bit of a prescription, Greg, before I let you go here. Give me a little bit of a prescription for this club that's going to come home, play two games at home. They're going to go to Canada for five more. We've been on the road forever here. Then we're going to have a 10-game homestand. How can the Ducks, Greg, make things better for themselves and start to get some of the results? Because unlike, I'd say, the first month of the season, I think psychologically they're in a better place. I think the work ethic is strong. But what do you see coming up in like the next month that might help the Ducks turn some of this around?
Got to double down on defense. That's where victory begins in this league. Even if you're a high scoring team, chances are a lot of those chances you're developing start in with a defensive play or start in your own zone. And the problem with the Ducks right now is not only can they struggle to hold a lead sometimes, and not only do they sometimes allow teams to get a jump on them. I saw a stat the other day that I think the Ducks are like 1-10 when they trail after the first period, which is never a good thing. So like double down on defense and more than anything else, I mean, get some shot suppression going too. I think you mentioned Gibson and Solars before. I mean, give them some easy nights as far as the number of shots that they have to face on a game-by-game basis. And just kind of work on those defensive fundamentals. Again, this is a marathon for them. It's not a sprint. The playoffs are probably not going to be happening for this team. So just sort of incrementally build those sort of fundamental foundational things that you can rely on in seasons to come, when hopefully all these young players that are here and the young players that will arrive via the draft this summer can actualize as a contender again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and it speaks not only to the defensemen but the forwards. I've said for a while now we need more block shots, to amongst other things. The level of sacrifice has got to be understood, that it's going to take more to stop the deluge that we face sometimes. Okay, folks, Greg Wyszynski, ESPN.com. Go there. It's just brilliant work as always, and one of the great writers of our time, quite honestly. Greg, thank you so much for joining me on Duck Calls. Yeah, he's laughing. What are you laughing about?
Great. Okay, great.
You are.
Great. I'll give you great.
Look what
you've
done.
I'll give you great hockey. Great hockey writers of our time. John Steinbeck over here. But
yeah, no, I'm not comparing you to Steinbeck. Yeah, no, I'm not putting you up there with Tom Wolfe. I'm putting you up there with Eric Magic. You know what I mean? All right, there he is. Greg Wyszynski, thank you. Thank you for joining me. All right, very good. There's Greg Wyszynski, hockey's John Steinbeck. Yeah, all right, very good. Listen, give me a call in my last couple minutes here, 714-940-2888. What do you think about the Ducks? What do you think they need to do this week? What do you like? What don't you like? And what happened today? So give me a call in my last few minutes here. I'll go over a couple things here as we're chugging along. All right. Well, the Minnesota Wild stung us in a shootout yesterday. And guess what? They went into Dallas today and they beat the Dallas Stars 6-5 in a shootout. So Minnesota Wild getting serious in that Central Division. And it's so interesting because of the amount of, you know, the salary cap issues that they have, that they're, you know, they're still paying out so much dough on the buyouts of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, who you'll remember years ago signed those $100 million contracts. And so 13-9-2 for the Wild. And 6-5 today in Dallas over the very hot Dallas Stars. Just want to look and see here. Yep, Jason Robertson once again scored. He's up to 23 league-leading goals. Right now in the first period, it's the Red Wings 1, Blue Jackets nothing on a goal by Austin Zarnik. Red Wings looking better. Later tonight, starting at 4 o'clock Pacific time, the Sharks are in Buffalo. And at 4:30 Pacific time, the Blackhawks are on Long Island to face the Islanders. Couple little notes and tidbits here. Again, this will be the last time I mention Mitch Marner on Duck Calls. 19-game point streak, tip of the cap to him. He surpasses Ed Olczyk and Daryl Sittler for all-time point streak, 19 games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I will offer this opinion. The New Jersey Devils, as well as they're doing, in my view, and I love their reverse retro colors because they got the old Kansas City Scouts look. But they should have worn the Kansas City Scouts logo. They really should have kept that. Never, ever blow an opportunity to wear the Kansas City Scouts logo on your reverse retro. They beat Philly 3-2 yesterday. They've now won 20 of their first 25 games. They're on an 11-game road win streak. And then I'll close with this today as we get out of here. Corey Perry, our old buddy, 1,200 games in the National Hockey League with a great screen on Nikita Kucherov's 11th goal last night. So hats off to you, Corey Perry, author of 1,200 NHL games, and it does not look like he feels like quitting anytime soon. All right, thank you for listening to Duck Calls. It's a busy weekend here on Duck Calls. We'll be back Tuesday as we play the Carolina Hurricanes. I want to see you at Honda Center Tuesday, and I want to see you at Honda Center on Friday. And I will talk to you then. 6:30 is the pregame. 7 o'clock is the game. Talk to you Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You're listening to Live Ducks Audio, and we're here with a hot tip for sports fans. Check out TuneIn.
This all-in-one audio platform brings together all the live sports you want. But what if you want to queue up some shows on your time? TuneIn also brings you the sports podcasts you love on demand. Listen to ESPN's full lineup of pods, great shows from CBS Sports, and so much more, all on TuneIn. Plus, because TuneIn's available on all your devices, you're never without something to listen to. Give it a shot. Check out TuneIn today.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats, like Madonna. Elton John. The Master, Prince. And so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks!
Okay, smile naturally. Perfect.
Camp's photography knows wedding season ramps up in a flash. They need to say I do to a studio assistant before clients go full bridezilla.
I'm so sorry. I have to get a different lens. I'll be right back.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste. Sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water.
Join the Mighty, a new loyalty program that's free to